Well, it's good to be here again.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. But it should have been really good all week long in our walk and time with Yah, taking care of us every step of the way. We trusting and relying on Him. Well, last couple of Fridays, it's been kind of onset and offset with different guys, and one having to work and sometimes not having to work, and I've been pretty busy, and so it just... Today I saw myself free, and I didn't know if anybody was going to have to stay at work again or not, so I just prayed about it. I said, you know, I'm just going to prepare myself just in case. And it was so good this morning, just spending that time with Him. I said, you know, I'll just make it, see if the guys are open or not. I'm just going to be humble and say, hey, I'm good with it tonight. If anybody else is good with it, nobody, everybody's thumbs up. I'm like, okay, we'll go ahead and go with it. And so... I've been for the past couple of weeks trying to stay on track like I was before in the past, because, you know, pastor would be in line with something with the text, wherever we are in the text, whatever we're talking about, and I'd pick up on things, and I was able to go from there and learn and act upon it and able to teach it on a Friday night. And then some of the other guys would learn and teach something, and I would draw from that. And it did that for a couple of weeks. But then it started growing so quickly, I wasn't hardly able to keep up with it. This last couple of Shabbats on Friday and Saturday, pastor has been giving us some stuff that's really, really good, but it's more than just the Friday night and the Saturday, because come Sunday and Monday, I'm going over it again, because it wasn't enough for me to swallow. I still had to take my time and apply it to myself and go over it again. There's things that you don't catch the first round. You got to listen to it again and listen to it again. And it's beautiful how everything's lined up where we are and our journey and the way it was lined up then. How, you know, God is eternal. He's this big, awesome God, but He sums it up down to each person's individual life even before they was born. And everything was in Moshe and his mom and his dad before he was even born. He's telling us the whole story right there. And it takes a little time to chew and swallow on that. And then look at your life and see who you are. And find out what your name is. And so these past 2 weeks I've been feeling like, the best I can explain, like an attorney, a lawyer, or like a detective. Because you're like Israel. Israel's name is one who strives with God, one who conquers with God, and one who rules with God. And the name came with Jacob. Jacob had his name changed because he was striving with God. He was really striving, trying to figure things out. Things was tough. Things wasn't going right. He made a lot of mistakes. And now here he is wrestling with the angel of Yah, wrestling with Yah. And there he finds his name, trying to find out, who's this God? Who am I? What is this? And find out his name is Yisrael. And that's in the makeup and design. When we get born again and grafted again in under our Mashiach, Yeshua, you get grafted into this Israel name, and it's one who strives with. There's times that we've wrestled with God wanting to do things our way, and He's trying to show us the right way, and we go against Him, and He's just trying to help us. He's not trying to hurt us. He loves us, and He's trying to show us that He knows all about us before we was even born. But somehow, being in this mystery world that we're in, all of society tries to make us a name of who we are, and that's not who we are. He made us. Before we was born, He knew us in our mother's womb, and He has a story about us. But it takes some striving, it takes some conquering, and it takes some ruling along the way. You're going to learn that as you go. And so dealing with me, dealing with my name, and dealing with God and where I am in this plan and this purpose, and we see it beautifully in the story in Shemot chapter 2. We've been going through chapter 2. And so we got these two words we was talking about a couple days ago, or Shabbats ago. I can't remember when, but I apply it every day and I try and remember it. We talked about comfort and consecrate. Consecrate takes some work. It's a challenge because I'm working on me every day. God's working on me, and I'm working on trying to find out who He is and what He's all about and what is it that I'm connected to Him in and Israel and what the future is, because it's not just this. And I went through a a couple of days where I was learning about eternity, which is the kingdom. When you're reading the New Writings and you hear about the kingdom of heaven, it's about an eternal place. It's about a place that never ends. God is eternal. And in His name, in Jehovah's name, He's the all-existing. The all-existing. Jehovah is all-existing. So when you look up the Hebrew word for His name, Jehovah, He's always existed. He has no birth. He has no end. And the only way you can really fathom that is to see it spiritually. You can't see it with your human mind, because your human mind is corrupt. We live in a corrupted world. That's why man still is in the shape it's in, because the mind is corrupt and the people is constantly looking for a leader. And we're going to talk about that tonight a little bit. We'll get there somewhere. When way, way later, when they cross the Red Sea and they're in the wilderness for a long period of time, and it gets to a spot where they're just constantly complaining after all the miracles and all the great things that He done for them and proved to him. And they got to see his kavod. They got to experience all those things. And it says that. And it just got to where He was furious with them because of their complaining. How many know when you say, I believe and I trust in God and He's going to do this or that for me, but you keep complaining about where you are and what you have? That's not telling Him at all that you trust He's going to do what He said. That would upset Him if it was me. If I tell you, hey, I got all this for you right here, just hang in there. I know it's going to be tough, but you got to trust me and believe me. And then I throw some miracles in there just to show you. I throw you some pretty little gems in there just to show you. And then you still complain about the next thing that pops up. I was going through this today, and I was just so relaxed in it. Just thinking about, you know, we got to get rid of Midstream. When they got there, their mindset was still on Midstream. They said, hey, we tired of Moshe. We tired of all this stuff. I wish we were back in Midstream and we had another leader. Well, what was in Midstream? Bondage, slavery, a dictator, taking all their stuff, causing them to work and work and just killing their babies. That's what you want to go to? Complaining again, all this complaining. And so when we get into that spot, we'll talk about that a little bit. But I was going through that and I was like, wow. We really got to have that mindset that Yah tells us in the morning, in the noonday, in the evening, before we go to bed. We got to stay inundated with it, because this is His character and it's an eternal character. And I got finished eating my lunch today, and my email pops up with my business. And it popped up. We just got finished talking about the snapper season, how it's up to a certain percentage, and everybody's excited because the past 2 years, they prolonged it almost into December. And we're like all excited about it, we're telling the customers about it and all, and my email pops up, they're closing it on my birthday, this August the 10th. Sunday is the last day. And I looked at it, and it wanted to come up here, and I said, you know what? What good does it do to get upset about this? If Yah is in control about everything in my life, for me, what is there to complain about? Is something good going to come out of this if I'm following Him? So I can't complain. If I complain, not only is it going to start upsetting me, but it's going to upset Him, because He's going to say, that's what you think about me? That I can't take care of you and everything you have need of? And maybe, just maybe, it might be a little time for you to rest your shoulders a little bit. You got to look at the good in everything. Don't look at the bad. And I guarantee you, if you go look on Facebook, they're going to have a mile-long line of list of complaining about closing the season. So which one you want? So I had to laugh and say, it's all good. We're moving on. I'm going to listen to Him. I'm following Him. And He's going to meet my needs, and He's going to take care of me. And I don't need to get myself upset for something I can't control. And that's what He's trying to show us. Through His word, you can stay confident and trust in Him, like they were supposed to when they come out of Midstream. But you can claim God, but still complain, even like, what's his name? Jonah. God made the bush, and the little thing grow up his head, give him some shade, and he got mad at that too. He was mad about everything. Just complaining, constantly complaining. God made it all. I think about God made man from the dust. But yet somehow we act like we made ourselves about our everyday business. But if you think about it, we didn't make ourselves. He brought us up out of the dust. Adam and Eve was the first man and human beings that he brought up. And he's the creator. And I believe we should respect him for at least giving us life. So comfort and consecrate. It's easy to have comfort, but you can't stay in comfort. It's almost like a dead end when you come to comfort. The flesh is never satisfied. And I was reading, I don't remember when I was reading this, but I put this down. Yah says knowing and knowledge is key. So what you know is very important. Knowing and knowledge is key. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. When you complain, you're not having any fear or respect of Yah. It says, the fear of Yehovah, the respect and fear, knowing who God is the beginning. It's the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise wisdom and discipline. And this being consecrated, it takes a lot of discipline. Because in Mishraim, where we came from in the world, we were habited to do certain things. We lived the way we want. We followed somebody else. We followed other things. But when we got grafted in and born again to God, he's got a different set of rules. And there's some things he doesn't approve of in his house. So there's some habits that we just used to. Complaining's a good one. Used to complain about things. We don't have this no more complaining. If you believe and trust what I'm going to say and do, then you need to quit complaining. That's what takes discipline. Sometimes things just don't go your way. And what we learn in Mishraim, we automatically learn to complain or get upset or find somebody else the reason or fault why this is not going my way today. It's not going my way today. It just so happened. And so you got to look through the eyes of Yah, through the Spirit to see. And he says, the fear of Yehovah is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 1, 29. Because we don't have time to read all of Proverbs chapter 1, but there's some certain points I picked out. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear and respect of Yehovah, they did not accept my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore, let them eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own counsels, for the turning away of the simple kills them, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me dwells safely and is at ease from the dread of evil. So we have to seek and search out Yah and ask him, and we'll find those answers in his word. It's in Proverbs. It's simple. It's not really hard at all. We just got to go back to the beginning of our book and start reading and find about who we are and who God is. And you'll find those things. Proverbs chapter 2. Still on knowledge and wisdom. It says, my son. And he treats you like sons and daughters. He really does when you come in. He grafts you in, whether you're with bloodline or not, but through Messiah Yeshua, we come into a covenant with him. We read that about Abraham. You come into a covenant with him. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Attendance is a proof to him that you're really concerned about your life and what he wants. Fridays is very important. It's not just Shabbat Saturday. It's really important that if you want something, you'll attend. I remember when I started charter fishing, I needed a boat. And how many know while I was praying and asking what to do and how to do it, I didn't wait for a boat to just fall out the sky and end up in my yard. I had to go pursue that. I had to go seek for that. I had to pray for that. And I had to do certain things. You got to do certain things. It just don't fall out the sky. And then as you're moving along, miracles can happen. And they will happen. Sometimes we think about, like we was talking about the other day, about maybe somebody giving you a sum of money to help you with certain things. But to get there, there's a disciplinary to get there. Because what are you going to do with it once you get it? If you've never learned any discipline from Yah, you'll use it, but it's still going to portray what's in your heart, who you are. My son, if you accept my words and treasure up my commands with you, you got to pick up on these things. It's a treasure. It's like very important. Treasure, up my commands with you, so that you make your ear attend to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. There's so much in Yah's word. It goes on and on and on and on. You can make sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And if you look at it in the flesh, it's kind of overwhelming. But in the spirit, you love it and you want it because it does. It goes on and on and on. How long do I want to live? For just a little short time that we're here and then die? Is that it? Is that it? But the answers say that we can have an eternal life where you can live on and on. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. It says, if you seek her as silver and search for his hidden treasures, then you would understand the fear of Yehovah and find the knowledge of Elohim. For Yehovah gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And he treasures up stability for the straight, a shield to those walking blamelessly, to watch over the paths of right ruling, and the way of his loving committed ones he guards. Then you will understand righteousness and right ruling, and straightness, and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge be pleasant to your being. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perversities. Those who leave the paths of straightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, they delight in the perversities of evil, whose paths are crooked, and they are perverted in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the foreigner who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and has forgotten the covenant of her Elohim. For her house has sunk down to death and her paths to the dead. None going into her does return, nor do they reach the paths of life. So walk in the way of goodness and guard the paths of righteousness. For the straight shall dwell where? In where? In the earth. You got to keep that in your mind. And the straight shall dwell in the earth, and the perfect be left where? In the earth. But the wrong shall be cut off from the earth, and the treacherous ones plucked out of it. Plucked out of it. There's a remnant. There's a people that's going to obey and trust God. Even though they die, they will be raised and remain on the earth. But those who continue to be rebellious and not follow through and stay corrupted are going to be plucked out of it. That's what it says. And it's plain and simple. This is not comfort. This is not attendance, discipline. This is not comfort. All what I read is not comfort. It takes discipline when you come out of Mishraim. There's things that we're habited that we seem in our mind it's right. You know, things could not go your way. And you can get all disgruntled about it. And for what? For what reason? But that's just the way we was habited to do. We got to get out of that habit. These teachings are not just for whoever attends. It's also to help get in us for the ones Yah has set up the road for us to meet and to share his kavod. How awesome he is and all he is, for he never could have... I wrote something here, I don't want to read that. It was just a little note that I had, I'm sorry. Oh, I remember what I was looking up. So when we read about Yaakoved, and we read about... I think it's Amram, right? Amram. We read about Yaakoved and we've read about Amram, which is Moshe's mom and which Moshe was Moshe's dad. And we talked about Moshe. Moshe's name was to be drawn out of the reeds, drawn out of the water. And when you read at the end of Exodus, when they were taken, all the people were taken out of the water. He had a remnant of people to be taken out when they got to the end in the Exodus. So Moshe was drawn out of the water in his name, and it was all put in there before his birth. It was already written and talked about. We went through all of that. So we're going to look way, way ahead, like I was talking about earlier. There's enough CDs and there's enough recordings to go back and go over everything I was fixing to try and start talking about. I don't need to talk about it because it's enough there for us to go and study and read about for ourselves. It's a lot. And it's really helpful if you apply it and look at how incredible God is, how He's the eternal God. But at the same time, He can bring us all the way down to this mom and this dad that took care, and she had to let go and let him go, her son, that he was going to take care of everything. She had to trust God that he was going to take care of everything, and he did. And there's a lot there to understand God in that you go back and listen to all those lessons and everything that's to be said. I'll still kind of mention a little bit as we go because there were some important points to point out. So we'll go to Numbers chapter 14, looking ahead. We'll look way ahead. Because it kind of applies with us today as we're moving along. Because as we're going to Goshen, we're going to where God set us up before we even knew about it. And looking into His glory, we're going to have to be doing this all the way through. We're not going to have time to bring any habits or mystery in with us. Because how many know you can receive a miracle and God do something great for you and you still complain? You still be in those bad habits and those old mindsets about somebody did something to me. We can't take that with us. He's given us a lot of time and years to get rid of all of that now. So when you get there, you'll be able to teach others. You're supposed to be a leader. We're supposed to be carrying the characteristics of Yah and our Messiah with us there to teach and lead others. We don't have time to be babies and still sucking on the milk when we get there. He's given us time to get it here. When you get there, you're going to have to be prepared. No complaining and all those things that you have in the mystery has all got to be gone. All that's got to be let go. Chapter 14, verse 1 of Numbers. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel grumbled against Moshe, grumbled against Aharon. And all the congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Mishraim, or if only we had died in the wilderness. And why is Yehovah bringing us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become prey? Would it not be better for us to turn back to Mishraim? And they said to each other, let us appoint a what? Another leader. We want another leader. And let us turn back to Mishraim. Then Moshe and Aharon fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation, the children of Israel. And Yehoshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their garments. They couldn't believe this was going on. They tore their garments. And they spoke to all the congregation of children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out, and it's exceedingly good land. If Yehovah has delighted in us, then he shall bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which is flowing with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against Yehovah, nor fear the people of the land, for they are bred. Their defense has turned away from them, and Yehovah is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Then the esteem of Yehovah appeared in the tent of appointment before all the children of Israel. And Yehovah said to Moshe, how long shall I be scorned by these people? And how long shall I not be trusted by them with all the signs which I have done in their midst? All these incredible signs, all these wonders, taking them out, and here they still complaining. They still got Mishraim right here. They ain't practiced. They ain't learned nothing of Yehovah, but yet they got this Joshua and this Caleb. They there, and they see it, and they trusting and relying, and they see who their God is, and they fear and respect. What did they do? They bow down. They respect Yehovah. So going this way on our journey, attitude matters. It reflects on what you believe, what God says. So when we bitter and complaining and still not getting along and things still happening, it's letting him know that I don't trust where we're going is true. But what you say is true, the things that you go through, the tough times and the stuff that you're going through right now is pales in comparison if you can see it through the spiritual eyes of what he's telling us is true. And if you really see it and believe that, that stuff pales. Your attitude starts changing. You look at things differently because you trust and rely on him. Like today, on the snapper thing, I'm like, whatever. We're moving on this way. This is where we're going. He said, all this is paid for. This is all done. I got you provided for. I'll take you. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. I have a covenant with you, and you got a covenant with me. This is my rules. You obey my commands. Trust me, it's going to be good for you. I got you taken care of. I created everything. I'm the eternal Elohim. I'm not man. I'm Yehovah. I'm the Elohim, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I'm not a man. Doesn't he say that over and over again? I'm not a man. Yah is a spirit. He's not a man. We try and put God in a box and try and think of him how we think and reason through human terms without even reading his book about him, what he says about himself. We have to open to the beginning of the pages. We have to go look in the beginning and find out. And it's not Matthew to Revelations first. That's from the middle to the end of the book. That's why so many get confused, because they don't go read the beginning of the book first and find out who Israel is, who this God is, and what does he say about himself. And we get there and we start reading about him like, well, somebody said this. And, well, they said that. I didn't say that about me. This is what I say about me. Now keep reading. And you keep reading. And you keep reading. And then, like I said the other day, I was telling somebody, I said, I was sitting in my truck. And I said, yeah. I said, it's so much stuff. It's like a big old pile. I said, it's like, it's so much things. And he's like, exactly. If it's not, then what am I? Like every human being that dies just a little bit for a short time and it's over? I'm eternal. I'm forever. I keep going and going and going. And that's what's incredible about him. He keeps going and going. And that's how he made Adam and Eve from the beginning. Eternal. To keep going and going and going. But because one man sinned, death into the world. Now it's only short-lived. And he said, and if I leave you in this state, eating from the tree of life, you will continue this ugly, corrupted mind forever and ever and ever. How many would like the world to just continue like this forever and ever and ever? Constantly toiling, constantly trampling on each other to get something over somebody else and to get richer and make that one poorer. Because the more richer one gets, the more poor the other one gets, because you trample on them. That's not God's order. That's not the way he wants it. He made it to where it was all the family. All was equal. Everything was in balance. In the beginning, he said, and this is good, tov. And it all functioned. It all created the way it's supposed to. Now we live in a time. Yah is out of time. He's eternal. He has no time set like we have. We have a time set. We live for a certain period of time and then we die. But he graced us in that period to get to know him and to get to find out who we are and to accept his son to be able to live eternally. But that's just the start to get born again. Just to get born again, it's just a little bit. It's just a little touch. But once you get born again, you get drawn to find out about who he is and what he's all about and what his people's all about. We don't know everything right off the bat once we get born again. So we got to keep seeking and keep finding. And we still go through turmoil. We still go through tough times. But complaining and very little of attendance is not a way to please and show effort that you're wanting to do what he's requiring, asking us to do, which is for our own good and the lives of others. Because remember, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't just about yourself, your little house, your little job, your whatever. It's about other people. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of people who have no idea what it is to be standing here or in this congregation, experience what we've experienced through the years. There's many that don't have a lot of understanding and is starving for it and hungry for it. But to get there, we got to get it here first before we get there. He says, so here's some good knowledge. The way we act reflects what we believe about Yah. Numbers 14:12. And what he says, I'm not saying this, I'm going to tell you what he said. This is for the record. This is what was going on with Israel at the time and what Yah says about certain things and what they did. Let me strike them with pestilence and disinherit them and make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. And Moshe intercedes and says, Jehovah, then the Midrashites shall hear it. For by your power you brought these people up from their midst. And they shall say to the inhabitants of this land, they have heard that you, Jehovah, are in the midst of these people, that you, Jehovah, are seeing an eye to an eye, and that your cloud stands above them. And you go before them in a column of cloud by day, and a column of fire by night. Now if you shall kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your report shall speak, saying, because Jehovah was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he slew them in the wilderness. So I wrote a note. But they were not going to be able to be any example to the surrounding nations because they acted just like them, looking to take all the control back into their own hands. Verse 3 and 4 says, let us turn back to Mishreem, appoint our own leader, and this is why the world is in the shape it's in, because nobody wants Yah's advice. Nobody wants Yah's correction over the corrupted advice by the way that we all are dying from, since from the beginning when man didn't take heed to the one advice, all this, but this one don't do. This one advice he gives. All this is yours. All this, he even said, name the animals, is yours for eternity. But this one thing, I give you some advice. Don't do. For the day you do, you will surely die. And we all die since the beginning that they did that. He said, now do you want to still keep their advice? Do you still want to listen to man and advice? Do you still want to listen to their traditions, all of their religions, all the stuff to kind of make it fit comfort? Because if you do that, you change my word. It's not eternal anymore. It's short come again and you're going to die. I don't die. I'm eternal. I live forever. I'm the eternal Elohim. And I made you that way from the beginning. But you don't take my advice. You don't take my advice. This is what happens. And still today, I pour out my heart to you, and I put my hand out, and I get on my knee to my children and say, please, this is my counsel, this is my discipline for you because I love you. I want to extend your life forever. But you can't shortcome it and add to it because it's corrupt. Perfect advice. That's what comfort brings. When you want it easier your way, your flesh pulls you right into, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. It tricks you. Your mind's corrupt. It's got sin in it. Sin seems good for a moment, but it's in his death in every category. They got hundreds of categories. That's why he wrote the Torah. It's our teacher. Because every time they do wrong, he shows you what you did wrong to do right. You did wrong again, this is what you need to do right. But it can't save us. We had to be born again, and we had to have a master come and show us and prove to us that you can live forever. You got to quit sinning. You got to quit doing that. You got to fix those habits. I pulled you out of midstream, and I got a forever journey for you to. And you got to have faith. You got to have strong faith. You got to stay in it. Once you're born again, you have to stay in it because you're surrounded by midstream. I was thinking about my name today. I was looking at my name, Chad, the Chet, the Hay, and the Dalit. And I was just sitting there looking at it and staring at it. And I see that C. And it's a ket. The Hebrew letter ket. It's protection. It's a ket like this. But I could see my letter C. And he said, Chad, you're right there in that C. And you keep obeying me. I got you there, protected. But notice in the ket, there's an opening. He said, the end of your name is a dalet. It's a door. Whatever you let in, you're letting it in. You can't let certain things of mystery in. When you're out in the world, you're going to be surrounded by it. But you got to be inundated. You got to be up to par with me. He said, because you're going to have tiresome days. And I had one a couple of weeks ago. And I fessed up to that. And I talked about that. The Father brought up Elijah, to pastor on Shabbat morning. And he had no idea what I was going through. And I was tired in my mind. I was unrested. And I was going in the wrong, I was going in error. And I went in error with another, I just went in error. And I only had one way out, and that was to seek him for it, and I had to pray it up, and it ended up all coming. Let's just say I'm here today, and I'm better for it, and I learned more. But he was tired. Eliyahu was tired. after going through everything he went through, all the miracles and the fire coming down and consuming the altar, after he saturated it wet to make sure nobody would prove that they put some gunpowder or something underneath it to make it light up or make up some kind of story about it. But it lit it up. And nobody can deny that it lit it up. And all of Israel was like, oh, we must fear Yehovah, our Elohim. No more of this Baal stuff. And he went through all of that. And all of a sudden he finds himself underneath a juniper tree saying, God, kill me. All because a woman, she just said that I want to wipe him out. Just like, and so make a long story short, that's what happened with that. And he fed on the word of Yah and the Spirit, and he was able to go 40 days journey after that. It's a long story. I don't have time to get into it, but I could tell you, you got to stay connected, because that sea, that chet with me in there, it goes on his journey. And he says, and I'm going to carry you, and I'm going to protect you on this journey. And as you learn and your character builds, you're going to be a leader and be able to teach others by the life that you live, the way you act, the way you talk to other people, act towards other people. I'm going to keep you in this chet. And then you're going to get revelations of me. And as you get revelations of me, you'll be able to share them with others. And it's a long road ahead, and I don't know the details. Many things that happened in miracles, they didn't know how it was going to happen. I read the story again of Abraham. Abraham was an Aramean. God called him out of his father being a pagan. Remember that story? His dad was a pagan. He raised him up in that kind of... So he come out from being an Aramean, and God calls him, and he has a covenant with Almighty Yah. And he said his generations is going to be like the stars in the sky. You picture that for a minute? Abraham's there, and he says, they're going to be like the stars of the sky. And then there's one day, we'll go follow the story long, long, long. He's going to have a son, but he has Ishmael. He's still going to have a son. And finally, he gets a son of promise. Him and his wife is 100 years old. They have a son of promise. They have Isaac. And then there's one day, the father says, I need you to take your son, your one and only son, I need you to go up the mountain, and I need you to take the wood, and you're going to go sacrifice your only son. And he takes Isaac. Isaac's a young man. He takes him up there. He's a man. We read the story. He's a man. Isaac's a man. He knows everything that's going on. He's not that little goo-goo baby. Don't know what's going on. He's a man. And so he understands. Well, here we go, Dad. This is it. I'm trusting in you. He's trusting in Yah. And think about it. Abraham's not Superman. He's got feelings like you and me. He's got thoughts like you and me. He's got to go through the same things that we go through. All these thoughts try to come plague your mind. And he's got to go up there and follow through what Yah tells him to do. So he goes on up the mountain. And he's got this sacrifice. He's got his son as a sacrifice. And he's going to do all this. And then it gets to that point where he's really going to do this and trust in Yah. That takes great faith. That takes great faith to do that, to do what God tells you to do. And he lifts up the knife to sacrifice his son. And the messenger of Yehovah says, stop. Stop. I know now that you believe me and you really trust what I say. And you're going to believe and trust everything I say. And there was a ram in the thicket. There's the sacrifice right there. What do you think that did for Abraham when that happened? Because in his mind, he said, whether he lives or he dies, he promised them like the stars in the skies, I'm just going to trust him, and we're going to go through with this. He didn't panic. He didn't say, oh, I don't know what to do. That's back in Mishraim mindset. That's back in the fleshly mindset. You got to really be inundated with Yah. He was constantly spending time with Yah by the tent. He's constantly yeshiva. Is it yeshiva? He's always yeshiva, spending time. What are we doing tonight? We're yeshiva. We're spending time with God. Even though I'm the speaker tonight, we're spending time with Yah. We're reading His Word. We're finding out more about Him. Numbers 14:17. And now I pray, let the power of Yehovah be great as you have spoken, saying, Yehovah is patient and of great loving commitment, forgiving crookednesses and transgression, but by no means leaving unpunished, visiting the crookedness of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations. Please forgive the crookedness of this people according to the greatness of your chesed, your loving commitment, as you have forgiven this people from Mishraim even until now. And Yahweh said, I shall forgive according to your word. But truly, as I live, and all the earth is filled with the esteem of Yahweh, for none of these men who have seen my esteem, that esteem is his kavod. That's his glory. What we're talking about, we talked about Wednesday night, his kavod is so heavy. It's his kavod that you can't even stand in his presence. You bow. And it says, but truly as I live, and the earth is filled with the kavod of Yahweh, for none of these men who have seen my kavod and the signs which I did in Mishraim and in the wilderness have tried me now these 10 times and have disobeyed my voice shall see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor any of those who scorned me to see it. That's serious for him to go through all of that, not just experiencing, they experienced his kavod, to experience the weightiness of Yah and still have that Mishraim mindset. That's bad news. That's not good. Of those who scorn me to see it. Me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me completely, I shall bring into the land where he went, and his seed shall inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelling in the valley turn back tomorrow and set out into the wilderness by the way of the Sea of Reeds. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, how long shall this evil congregation have this grumbling against me? I have heard the grumblings which the children of Israel are grumbling against me. Say to them, as I live, declares Yahweh, as you have spoken in my hearing, so I do to you. The carcasses, Numbers 14:29, the carcasses of you who have grumbled against me are going to fall in this wilderness. All of you who are registered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. None of you except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, son of Nun, shall enter the land where I swore I will make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would become a prey, I shall bring in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. But as far as you, your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years and shall bear your whorings until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a day for a year, a day for a year, you are to bear your crookedness 40 years and you shall know my breaking off. I am Yehovah, I have spoken, I shall do this to all this evil congregation who are meeting against me in this wilderness. They are consumed, and there they die. And the men whom Moshe sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation, it says, and the men whom Moshe sent out to spy, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing an evil report of the land, even those men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before Yehovah. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Yehoshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, remained alive. There is a forever continuation on the earth for those who listen. And there are those who just won't listen, be plucked out of it. So he says it loud and clear. Nobody has excuse. If you go back to the beginning of the book and start reading, he shares with us his love towards us and what we need to do to make sure we stay aligned with him and for the lives of others as well as ours. Now I have a little title here, Pastor had mentioned. I can't ever remember what night it was or when it was. I just keep it with me and I work on it during the week. Have we been found faithful, set apart, and courageous? Have we been found faithful, set apart, and courageous? So this word consecrate, when you get given a word that you don't know that well, I have a habit of going look it up. I'm going to look up the definition. I want to know what it's about, because if I got to be this and I got to learn this, I better go know what it is. What's consecrate? I know throughout the scriptures it says, and he consecrated them for a purpose. He consecrated them for a service. He consecrated him or her for whatever means Yeah, if I had them for service. Consecrate, consecrate. So you got to get that in your spirit. Consecrate. Consecrate. Being consecrated takes work. It's devoted to something, exclusively to a particular purpose. They decided to consecrate all their energies to the purposeful act of whatever it is. Rather than comfort, like I'm okay where I am, it will always be this way. How many grew up with that? Sometimes being said in your house. It's always going to be like this. The poor is going to get poor and the rich is going to get richer and all these sayings. But you don't read this when you read the Bible. It don't say that. It says something differently when we come aboard with Him. What you've been doing for so long is all you're ever going to see. There's nothing beyond this. Along with the grumbling, along with the complaining. All your energies has to be devoted depending on Yah's kavod and believing what He says. We cannot allow the thoughts and ways or habits of Mishreem to creep back in. We have to stay focused and we can't relax Yah's words. Mishreem's thoughts allows doubt to creep in. Location, habits growing up, and your surroundings, what I see, the economy, comfort with where I am and what I see. And the biggest downfall is continuous bad habits and no character change will keep you stuck in a mindset of Mishreem, even if you do make it out and make it to the promised land. Just like we're told on the record, they went through everything, they experienced everything, even as kavod, and ended up dying in the wilderness because they still had that bad habit or mindset of the complaining. They wouldn't learn to grow. They would come on a Sunday or a Shabbat, wherever a church comes, but when they go back home, nothing's read, nothing's practiced, not even hardly a scripture during the week, and continue the same habits where you came out of, and then come back to church and try and put on a facade, and try and act like or be like, but it ended up telling on you. So you can try and hide it all you want all the way to the promised land. But then you're going to look like an oddball because everybody else is going to be living and growing on faithfulness, trusting and believing in Yah, things that are crazy great faith, while you're still kind of doubting and in fear of, oh man, I don't know. That's kind of crazy sounding. See what I mean? If you're not inundated with it and you're not spending time with it, it's going to be just like it was in Mishreem. Fear, doubt, disbelief. It's always going to be the way it is. Why He's got it and I don't have it? Because you didn't continue to grow. You didn't continue to trust in and rely on and apply those things. You know, it kind of reminded me, I said this before, I had a fear of going way, way out where a lot of different charter guides were going at one time. And this deep, deep water to catch these snappers. I have my little boundary. This is as far as I need to go. Well, I got to being friends with a guy. And he'd always go out there. And one day I took the moment to do it. And I did it. And now it's like a kid's playground. It's no big deal at all. But you fear. Your mind fears certain things. But it takes a little step of faith, just a little step of faith to trust what He says. Just try it. I'm telling you, it's beyond what you think. But you got to try it. Trust me. This is my son. He died for you. I know you've never seen him before. I know you're just reading about it, but you got to trust me. You got to trust me that he bled so that you can get this blood that you have and this mindset that you have fixed. You're corrupted. Your mind is, and I'm going to help you. And so once you step out, and you try it, you're like, wow, this is amazing. And now I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to be there. I love being there. But at one time I had a fear of it. You fear certain things. But once you step out and trust Him, it gets really incredible. It really does. God wows you. He really does. In many places where you look back, you're like, man, just think if I never would have done that, if I wouldn't have stepped out and tried, I would still be in that same little spot, grumbling and complaining in that business with this boss that tells me I can't be off on certain days, I can't do this, I can't do that, when you can be an entrepreneur of your own business. That was far beyond my thoughts when I was there, over 20 years ago. And then I had to get it out of a place of not talking about anybody else in their jobs, but in a place where I was at, I was feared to leave the job because I had health insurance. And then I was told, you got to go here. I'm like, But But when I stepped out, I gained more than whatever I had when I had that. The enemy lies to you and your mindset. You got to trust God and listen to Him. When He says to do something, you got to do it. It's His love and His care for us. So when Shemot names, and we're going to look at this word Mishreim, because it's in the first sentence, chapter 1, verse 1. It's in Mishreim, it's Mishreim's there. And so I was looking at that today. I wanted to really go define Mishreim. Mishreim is Strong's H4714. It is made up of the same Hebrew letters as the word, and it's spelled M-I-T-S-R-A-Y-I-M. It's also made up in the word Mitzrayim, M-E-I-T-Z-R-I-M, which means limitations. It's symbolizing the areas in our lives where we feel stuck or constricted. What you came from tries to keep you there. You have to see past Mishreim into Goshen. It wasn't by coincidence, and it wasn't by accident you were rescued from a bad road. And this is what Yah is sharing with me. It was Yehovah that did that and had it all in His plan. Don't count it even as an accident or just by an accident you might be here tonight for the first time. I don't know. But all I know is He saw it before you got here. And I know that He has a plan and a purpose. It's not an accident and it's not coincidence. The Hebrew word for Egypt, pronounced Mishreim, literally, it is a geographical name for Egypt in our Bible. So if we're reading in the English in our Bible, we're going to find Egypt. The Hebrew word is Mishreim. It goes deeper in a linguistic and spiritual meaning. It denotes a narrow place, confinement, and strict limitations. So I'm going to define limitations for you. Limitations. Limitations is a boundary that stops growth. What does sin do? It weakens you and it stops your growth. So if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father to forgive you so you can continue your stunned growth. It stops you. There's many here that's been through it that can vouch for that. It's a fearful place to be when you step away from Yah and you go and sin. And you get stuck in this confined place. You don't want to leave it. And then you want to leave it. You miss God, but then you done sinned and made a mistake. But you have to accept His forgiveness to you with His Son so you can get back and grow and get started back where you left off and grow. A boundary that stops growth, sin weakens spiritual growth. One who is not skilled in the Word and truth of Yah has weak faith and will be more fearful of where Yah wants to take them rather than going through it. And in the end, instead of saying, look at what Yah did, because that's our theme song right now. Look at Yah, look at Yah, look what He's done. Because when you get there's no way possible that a man could have been involved to cause all that happened but Yah. When they got to the Sea of Reeds, they were stuck. There was no man that could possibly split the Red Sea wide open for them to cross with over 3 million people. Over 3 million people. We just talked about those numbers. They started out with 70 when they came in, and they were leaving with 3. They extended. I mean, they grew big. This tribe grew over 3 million. They're gone, and now they got the Sea of Reeds, and there's Moshe. He was drawn out as a baby. And now he's about to draw the people across the water with the staff. And he hits the water and it splits wide open. Yehovah split the sea. There was no man who could ever do what He just did. And they cross over. That had to be Yah. There's no other way we could have crossed over like that. But over time, you keep around in the world and have that kind of mindset, you'll forget about the miracles, you forget about the great things only Yah, and then you start complaining, oh man, I got to go through this now, oh I got to study this, or I got to go to Wednesday night, or I got to go to Friday, okay, go ahead, just do you. But Yah is going to continue, and He had a Joshua and a Caleb, and they continued. And all through time, all the way to our Messiah, Yeshua, you read story after story after story who men who started off small and He extended them. Small and He extended them. small, and he extended them from Abraham to Yitzhak to Jacob to Yosef, all the way to them boys, the 12 tribes of Israel, all the way going to Moshe, and then from Moshe, then you got Joshua, and you got Caleb, and it continues all the way to those lineages. And we talk about ladies, how important the women were. Very important. And we found out for the first time by digging into who Yochebed is. This woman's got his glory in her name. His glory, the glory of Yah. And there's another little study I did a while back, months ago, about, you know, how many times we've read how the woman is the weaker vessel and all this. Just looking at it in the English, you know, in the English Renewed Writings translation without really knowing who they are in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, we get to, she's the counterpart. And you look at the Hebrew word counterpart, and it goes deep. It takes a lot to get to what I'm about to say, but it gets to where they're face to face. It's a feminine side and a masculine side of Yah. The man is the masculine side of Yah. And the female is the feminine side of Yah. And they both are important, and they're both eye to eye. Not one looking over above the other or above. They're eye to eye. They're both important, and they both need it. Without the man, without the woman, without the woman, without the man, he made them both together as one unit. And it's incredible when you read these stories and you start reading about Yochebed, how she was important. And then you read about all these other ladies' stories. Esther, another one, who stood, she put her life on the line to go before the king. And Yehovah got her in there, and she stayed alive for her people, for the Jews. Our thoughts and ways are limited. Yehovah's thoughts and ways are eternal and they're never ending. Even that can only be stood spiritually. And you can go back and read it for yourself. I was talking about this a little while ago. I'll start it off a little bit, the first two verses. In Bereshit 15, 5 and 6, about Abraham, about a promise. God gives him a promise, and he don't see this road way ahead. I'm sure that would have kind of boggled him to say, hey, you're going to go up on a mountain, and you're going to sacrifice your son. He didn't tell him all that. He said the stars. Your children, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. That'd be just like when Yah said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. You see that right there? When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. I'm seven steps ahead of you all the days of your life. Sometimes you have rough days and you got to say that to yourself. Hey, I know it's rough today, but I'm seven steps ahead of you all the days of your life. I meant what I said. And to Abraham, how am I going to have a child at 100 years old? How is that possible? It's impossible with man, but it's possible with me. Remember, I'm the eternal Yehovah. I'm the one. I'm the one who created everything. You're in that mindset of what you see and think. That's why. And he brought him outside and said, look now towards the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so is your seed. And he believed in Yehovah, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. There's things that look way out there, crazy faith. But when you look at it in the spirit, and you keep your eyes on the spirit, it's going to be amazing. And you're going to say, look what Yah did. And then you can read Genesis 22. All that story right there, 1 through 18. When he brings his son up to sacrifice him as the slaughter offering. I will mention this part in Genesis 22:13. When he saw the ram, when he sacrificed his son, he said, stop, now I know. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and saw behind him a ram caught in a bush by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and he offered it up for the sin offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Yireh. As it is said to this day, on this mountain, Yehovah provides. Let me tell you, on our way, he's providing. That's right. And that started this past Shabbat. He said, today is the day. And he's providing every step of the way. I know you don't see it. I know you don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Just trust me. So Abraham's going up that mountain. You got to trust me. Sacrifice your son. He's thinking in his mind, well, my wife Sarah, this is her son that promised. Got to keep going. I'm trusting Yah. I'm trusting what he's telling me. And his son, I guess this is it. This is the day, Dad. I'm going to have to do what he says. And they did that. That takes great faith. Great faith. It's crazy faith for a purpose. Mishraim has a dual ending. Ayin. At the end of the word, in Mishraim, signifies a dual in the Hebrew, like two eyes. You have one, then you have two. You have one eye or two eyes. You have one hand or a set of hands. This implies a double restriction or a double siege being boxed in multiple sides. And the core root, zar, as in zarim, zar, is embedded inside the word mishraim, or the middle Hebrew letters zarik and resh, which form the letter zar, meaning narrow and tight with trouble straits. Then the prefix mim, the starting letter mim, can act as a prefix meaning from or designated place. And we know mim is water. It's got mim on the front of it. It's got mim on the back of it. Mim is like troubled waters. Troubled waters. So spiritually symbolic meaning of the narrow place is beyond the physical. It represents, Mishraim represents personal, emotional, psychological boundaries where a person feels stuck, restricted, or trapped by their own habits and fears. We're restricted in our mindset. Yah is not restricted. His is eternal. You got to put that in your mind. He's eternal. And so when you trust in him, he's got an incredible plan and a plot. We're trying to think how it should go. Well, if we knew how it was going to go, then what in the world we need God for? We need God to survive. We need God to know what to do next. But in the flesh, with it being corrupted, it tries to figure a way. And it can't. It's impossible with man, but it's possible with Yah. So you trust him, and he puts all the pieces of the puzzle together as you go along. And as you pick them up, like picking up the breadcrumbs, you're like, wow, look at this. I mean, think about it. He provided for... It was Eliyahu. It was Elijah. When Elijah, after he called for the drought, knowing that when I call for this drought, guess who's going to be in the drought too? He's going to be in the drought too. So he's calling out what's going to happen to him too. He's going to be in a drought. But Yah says, hey, I need you to leave all of this place. I need you to go down to the ravine. And over there, you're going to be provided for. And he got there, and just like he said, there were many crows, not one. There were many crows that gave him food. Crows are like thieves. They go out and steal and grab stuff, and they'll come and bring it. And they came and bring it to Elijah. And then they had the ravine. They had water there. He provided him water, food and water in the drought. And then there's other places that he went that God provided for him. Yah provides. You just got to trust and rely on him. Leaving Egypt. When the Torah speaks about leaving Mishraim, it is understood symbolically as an inner liberation, moving past the narrow limitations that hold back a person's true potential. God's got a real good potential for each and every one of us. And it's past, and it's beyond what you think and you see. Your limitations is, you know, I don't see myself going past this. And God's like, you have no idea who you are. I got this great big plan for you and your people. Can you imagine what it was like for Yaakov and for Amram after they have their child? They sent him off. The Egyptians take him in as their child. Then they go through all the plagues and they go through all the time where they say, put the blood on the doorposts of your house and stay inside. And all the firstborn of all the Mishraites, they all die. Just like they was killing the Hebrew boys, throwing them in. It kind of reversed on them. And then it goes all the way till they get to the Sea of Reeds, and they cross over and they make it all the way through. All that was bundled up and a Yochaved and an Amram and a Moshe. Didn't happen yet, but the plan was already there. He had the plan already there. That's incredible. And he's got a plan for you and I. You know, where we came from, not born again yet, we were limited in our limitations. We were said by certain people, we're this and we're that, and we believe that. But God says, look, when you figure out who I am, and you figure out your name that I set for you, and you put it in the puzzle piece, you're unstoppable. You're eternal like me. You die, you raise. My son Yeshua, he accomplished it. I raised him from the dead. Death couldn't hold him because he didn't sin. Not one time did he ever sin. The record holds that he didn't sin. Therefore, his Father raised him, and he lives eternal. He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And that's what you got to believe. That's great faith. Then the Hebrew word ayin is about an eye, a natural water spring. When written with a dual ending, ayim, it denotes a dual pair, such as ayim, one eye, becoming two eyes. And then we can get into the eye, literally and physically. It's something to be seen. When you're in the world living without Yah, you depict everything with your eyes. And then when you get to know Yah, he says in there, be careful what you look at with your eyes, what you listen to with your ears, and what you say. Because you're getting a lot of trouble if you go back to looking at certain things that was attractive that got you in trouble before. I need you to keep your eyes on me. I don't care how good something looks or how good it sounds if somebody says to go this way. If I didn't say it, don't go that way. If you're not supposed to look at it, don't look at it. I'm telling you, you got to protect your eyes. You got to protect your ears. You got to protect your mind. And you got to stay inundated with His Word on a daily basis. You got to keep your spirit fed every day. So that's why I prayed again today. I said, yeah. Give me eyes to see every day. Please give me eyes to see when I'm reading, when I'm studying, in my everyday walk. It symbolizes and represents how a person looks at the world, the inner vision, deep insight, rather than just the surface appearance. So it can perceive whether we're looking in the physical or we're looking into the spiritual. In Jacob or James chapter 1 verse 8, because depending on what you're looking at or what you're doing, physically or spiritually, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I got so much to cover in this area, but I wanted to. That was in. Okay, that's what we're going to go to right there. So we're going to get off of Mishreem now. We're going to go to. The name Eliyahu. The name Eliyahu, my wife talked about on Wednesday night. She had a dream, and she don't dream. And she kept telling me, man, all night long, I kept hearing Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. Who's Eliyahu? And it's Elijah in English, Elijah. And so we talked about it a little bit, and she shared with it on Wednesday night. And maybe you could talk to her. She'll share it with you. Maybe she might share it again tomorrow morning. But Eliyahu means my God is Yehovah, or Yehovah is God. And so every time she was saying that, Yehovah is God, or El is Yehovah. So every time they said, when they spoke to the prophet Eliyahu, they were basically saying, Yehovah is my El, or El is Yehovah. When you look up the name Yehovah, Yehovah is all existing. He's always existed. So he's the existing El. Let's talk about names a little bit. Everybody was given a temporary name that is limited. And God's got a name given that continues on. And if we think about our King, our Master Yeshua, despite all the thoughts and deception trying his mind while he was hammered to a tree, he freed us from this world to an eternal one, and our name orchestrated by Yehovah to strive and to listen to him. Conquer, that all came with the word Yisrael. Yaakov got the name Yisrael, and in the name Yisrael, you learn to strive, know who God is, conquer, and to rule with him. So that's what our master did in keeping all that. So I went and started reading in Genesis chapter 32, verses 25 through 28. Because it brought me back to where I remember hearing Yah say, or it was Moshe, it was Yaakov. Yaakov said, what is your name? And so I went to Genesis chapter 32, verse 25. And when he saw that he did not overcome him, when the angel was wrestling with Yaakov, and when he was wrestling with God, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Yaakov's hip was dislocated as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I'm not letting you go until you have blessed me. So he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Yaakov. And he said, your name is no longer called Yaakov, but Yisrael, because you have striven with Elohim and with men, and you have overcome. And when you look up the word Yisrael, it means to strive with El, to overcome with El, and to rule with El. Every time you hear the name Yisrael, not in the English Israel, but Yisrael, it means to strive with El, to conquer with El, and to rule with El. Yaakov became Yisrael when he started living up to his name, when he started striving with El, overcoming with El, and ruling with El. He didn't completely live up to that name when he discovered his name that day, but from that day forward, he had to go through many trials. We read about that. Before we got to Shemot and Bereshit, we got to many times when we were reading about Yaakov, all the trials and all the things that he had to go through in discovering his name. Even all the way up to Yosef when he gave him the dreams, and it went all the way to there when finally he's in Goshen, and all the dreams that his son told him all came true to the day of his deathbed. He gets to see his children there, all his sons, before he dies. He got to live up to his name all the way up to that point. And then his sons would live up to their name. From that day forward, he had to go through the trials many years and process to live up to that name, and to his children, 12 tribes, all the way up to us today, to not rely on Israel, but to be Israel relying on Yah. We don't rely on Israel, We're Israel relying on Yah through our Master Yeshua. That's what we become. That's in our name. That's in our makeup and our design. We're going to strive with Him. We're going to have those days we wrestle with Him. And how many knows He always wins? He's always going to win. You could run. You can try and do your thing. Once you run into Him, it's going to be miserable for you. You can try and find things to kind of comfort you and make you feel good. But He's not going to stop because of His love for you until you turn back to Him. And then He's going to say, okay, I got your attention. This is your name. And this is who I am. And this is who you are in me. And you're going to live forever in this family. And so Genesis 32:29, and Yaakov asked him, saying, please let me know your name. And he said, why do you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. You know, Yehovah, his name, it can't be. He's always existed. But each and every one of us has a name because we have a key to play in the body. Every person. Think about that. Every person, there's over 6 billion people on the earth, and not one of them is the same unless they had some kind of reconstructive surgery on their face to look identical. But still, when you talk to them, I bet you their character ain't the same. You could try all you want to, but every living being is different. Birth after birth after birth. You might resemble somebody, but something's tweaked a little bit on the nose or the eyebrows or the lips. Yah is incredible. He's amazing. Not one person is the same. None. Even these twins right here. When I first met them, they looked the same. But after I got to know them, they ain't the same. One's hard and one's nice. One of them's hard and one of them's kind of gentle. I ain't going to get into it. I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm going to end tonight in this last chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is very important in the renewed writings. Yehovah can only be understood through the Spirit, truthfully. People try and figure Him out in the flesh, and they try and pull Him in the flesh. That's what society has done today. Society tries to pull God into their reasoning and thinking. It's impossible. You never know God in your reasoning and flesh. It's corrupted. You have to be born again to be able to start seeing Him for who He truly is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the witness of Elohim, for I resolved not to know any matter among you except Yeshua Messiah and Him impaled. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And in my word and my preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, in order that your belief should not be in the wisdom of who? Men, but in the power of Elohim. Yet we speak wisdom among those who are perfect, and not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age that are being brought to naught. This age is going to come to an end. The only reason we've been graced to be here is to be able to understand who God is, put on that eternal character to live forever when you get there. That's where we're going. This is not home. Even though it is home in the future, it's an ending spot without Him. In order that your belief should not be in the wisdom of men, but in power of Elohim. Yet we speak wisdom among those who are perfect, and not the wisdom of this age, nor the rules of this age that are being brought to naught. But we speak in the wisdom of Elohim. We talked about that in Proverbs, which was hidden in a secret. What he said, the treasures in the secret places in which Elohim ordained them before the ages of our esteem, which no one of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have impaled the master if they had known. But it is as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what Elohim has prepared for those who love Him. And we pick up on that scripture right there in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. It says, this is what it's referring to, since the beginning of the ages, they have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any Elohim besides you who acts for those who kavah, who wait for him. Those who wait for him. He acts for those who wait for him. And wait for him is not just sitting still. Wait for him is constantly being of service for whatever he's called you to do. In that service, as you act upon it, there's reward for it as you go along. We talked about that with Levi. Levi acted in a service that he was supposed to service in, and as they did that, as we talked about that, he was rewarded for that. But in this writing right here, it's not kavah, it's chacha. It's waiting and following through with his instructions, being careful to listen. Chavah is being strengthened like strands of rope, like Sister Hillary talked about, she did a teaching on kavah. It's like strands of rope when put in a bind or strengthened. Yah is the core behind together, making it stronger. We become stronger in him. The longer we wait and the longer we strive with him and conquer things, the stronger and strengthened like a tight rope, we get strengthened to him. And in verse 10, and we ended in 16, but Elohim has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all matters, even the depths of Elohim. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man that is in him? So also the thoughts of Elohim no one has known except the spirit of Elohim. And we have received not the spirit of the world, we have that already, but the spirit that is from Elohim, in order to know what Elohim has favorably given us, which we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the set apart spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual matters with spiritual matters. That's why we have to learn and know the beginning of the book to line up what the Spirit is lined up with, not the corrupt thoughts of man. Which we also speak not in words as man's wisdom teaches, but with the set apart Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual matters with spiritual matters. But the natural man does not receive the matters of the Spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness to him. And he is unable to know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual discerns indeed all matters, but he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of Yah? Who shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Amen. Amen? And so, we'll leave it right there. And we'll continue in the morning, whatever the Father has for us on Shabbat morning, evening to morning. Yeah.